All right, we are live at Target Field, about an hour away from Twins pregame right here on WCCO. It's Jason, it's Dan, it's Target Field. It's a lot of youth baseball players all over the place.
Yeah, we're crawling with them.
It's pretty fun. Tigers and Twins tonight. Looks like the weather's going to hold out all right. I was a little concerned about rain. The Twins getting in very early this morning. We talked to Paul Molitor in our last hour. And Paul told me he got home at about 4 in the morning today.
Oof.
From New York. He looked great, though. If you want to watch our interview with Paul, you can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/WCCRadio, and you can rewind right now while the show is in progress. You just go back to our second hour. This will be about an hour in, but every segment of the show always available on YouTube and on podcast, so check that out. Let's get you up to date on quite a number of news headlines. We call it the D-Rush Hour news headlines.
The headlines you might have missed without missing a beat. This is your fast pass through the biggest and most impactful stories of the day. Welcome to the D-Rush Hour headlines, starting with the lead.
And our first story in the lead is a not shocking development, but a breaking one, that a grand jury did indict Vance Belter on first-degree murder charges. You heard the latest from Taylor Rivera in our newsroom just a couple of minutes ago. Many people wondered why Vance Belter was not charged with first-degree murder. But in Minnesota, the law is such that only a grand jury can indict for first-degree murder, first-degree meaning with intent. He was indicted on 2 counts of first-degree, 4 counts of attempted first-degree, a count of felony animal cruelty as well. All of this going back to June 14th, when Belter allegedly murdered Melissa Hortman, her husband Mark, tried to kill John Hoffman, Yvette, and their daughter Hope, and then tried to attack Kristen Boehner, another state representative who was out of town. But they say he pounded on her door. It does not matter that she wasn't home. It was still an attempt, according to the charges. Mandatory life in prison without parole is the max penalty you can get in Minnesota. That is why the federal government has filed charges, because the federal government has a death penalty for this type of crime. And so there has been a little bit of jockeying as to who is going to prosecute first. Will it be Hennepin County or the feds? But right now it's going to be the feds.
Right. The feds sort of have right of first refusal on this, and they've just indicated they're not going to give that up, even though Mary Moriarty has asked them to. But you still go through this process locally of the grand jury and getting these indictments, because you never know what happens necessarily in the federal trial. And obviously this individual has been trying to do interviews,
right,
and drum up support in certain areas of the internet that will remain nameless, and who, you know, you never know, right? So the president obviously could come in at some point. I'm not saying he will, but could come at some point,
yes,
and issue a pardon that would wipe out the federal charges.
Yeah.
So if you're Mary Moriarty, you put these in place as a backstop, at least.
Well, you would do this regardless.
This is just
how it works. This is how it worked with Chauvin. This is how it works.
Yeah.
This is how
part of the process.
It's part of the process.
Absolutely,
part of the process for sure. Next up in the lead is rain at Target Field. Right now, if you're watching on the live stream, it is pouring out here at Target Field. First pitch scheduled for 6:05. The radar showing this rain moving through, but if you're getting ready to leave work or you're out on the roads right now, it's definitely going to cause some delays. The grounds crew is working feverishly, Dan.
Yes, working hard. Just a quick correction. First pitch scheduled for 6:40.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Yes, pregame at 6.
Correct.
First pitch at 6:40. Hopefully the rain will be out of here by then.
I mean, skies are pretty light around us, so you wouldn't think that this would last for very long, but it's coming down hard enough that obviously they had to get the tarp out just to protect the infield.
It is fun to watch. If you miss it live, you can go back and check our WCCO radio live feed at any point. All right, we'll move on to next up in the lead, our third item, and that is a DFL state senator arrested on suspicion of DUI. This is, to me, a scenario where our legislators need to have some sort of standard for behavior. because we had the state senator who is charged with felony burglary, and she kept her seat until she decided to resign. Now we have a DFL state senator accused of DUI, and he likely will be able to keep his seat. Now, Tu Shong, the DFL state senator, according to the state patrol, blew a .09, which the legal standard for driving a car is .08. It would be easy to dismiss that as like, well, he was just barely over. He was over. We have far too permissive of an attitude towards drunk driving in this state, and this is his second time.
I think that's even more important than whatever the number would be, right? That you've gone through something like this before, and in response to it, you do it again? That's obviously a questionable judgment call on that person's part, and I think their constituents would be very much within their rights to wonder if this individual should continue to represent them.
2022, he pled guilty to driving under the influence. This is his second arrest. Both of them happened while he was in office. So voters can make their decision, but to me, two strikes and you're out. One more story to talk about in the lead, and that is 5 months of motoring misery. That's the way the Star Tribune headline characterized the Interstate 94 construction between Minneapolis and St. Paul, and this weekend is the final full closure, and then it all is going to be open again. Happy days are here again, because getting, as someone who loves St. Paul and loves to go from Minneapolis to St. Paul, it has been a royal pain to get from downtown St. Paul to here. That's been harder. Getting here to there has been a little easier. But, oh, boy, has it been bad,
it's
Dan.
It's a challenge, to say the least, and just part of the misery that has been this summer when it comes to road construction. So, you know, it's glad that this is going to be the last weekend of it. They can finally get it cleared up before the state fair starts. And people can get back and forth between the cities.
No doubt. That was part of the motivation to get it done in time for the fair. This started in April. It's just been two lanes in each direction. They've been fixing the bridge. We're glad they're fixing the bridge.
Yes.
We bellyache about the construction, but we are glad that they've been repairing the bridge over the Mississippi River and four others. But the backups have been challenging. So now it'll be closed from 10 p.m. tomorrow night until the start of the morning rush on Monday. And the whole freeway between 35W and 280 shut down. So make alternate plans if you're going between the cities over this weekend. That is the D Rush Hour news headlines in the lead. And there is quite a hubbub out here at Target Field where all of the young baseball players, youth baseball players from around the state are here for a little. I presume they're going to do a pregame sort of parade on the field, which the Twins do with youth baseball teams a couple times a season. It's so fun. And all those kids are in the concourse right now because it is pouring.
Yeah, hopefully the warning track is still in good enough shape that they still get to do it, because that would be a bummer to miss out on. But, wow, yeah, it is coming down out here.
All right, we're about an hour and 20 minutes to game time. Twins and the Tigers, first time in town. How many Polad-related signs will there be? And how many people will be kicked out of Target Field for their Polad-related signs tonight? We'll see. Page 2 is coming up in just a minute of the D Rush Hour News headlines. And, oh, goodness, we have some good stuff for you on Page 2, including those weird lights in the sky. On Tuesday night, what was it? An update on a local TV meteorologist lawsuit and an idea, maybe a better way we could deal with speeding in Minnesota. All of that as we continue with the D Rush Hour news headlines next. Nice, beautiful rain out here at Target. You know, we needed the rain. I don't know. Did we need the who knows? D Rush Hour news headlines in effect here on CCO. Let's start. Let me get my right story up here. Let's start with this sort of interesting drama in the skies on Tuesday night. I was getting all of these emails about all of people saying, like, what is going on?
Oh, yeah. Was it a UFO?
A lot of people were hoping it was a UFO. Dan, I know you're a big UFO guy.
You love a UFO. No.
No. No.
But I was getting texts about this. Did you see this on Tuesday night?
I feel left out because I didn't see anything about this. Now, Tuesday night I was out, but, you know, I still was home early enough where I should have been informed somehow.
Someone should have told
you. Someone should have sent me a text message.
It was an interesting sort of light show, and it turns out, according to Bring Me the News, that it was not anything that people were hoping it was. It's like, this is what it looked like if you're in the live stream. It was, how would you describe it? Just sort of like, almost looked like a squiggly light. It sort of looked like a Batman-type ship in the sky.
Yes, that's fair.
And it's not.
It's not.
But the what it was is sort of interesting. It was a fuel dump from a rocket launch. It was the launch of the Vulcan rocket from Cape Canaveral in Florida. Or was it the launch from the European spaceport in French Guiana? And they're pretty sure it was Guiana, right?
Which is, if you think about it, of all of the conspiracy tinfoil hat excuses that, you know, they make up for what UFOs actually are, the launch of a rocket from French Guiana seems a little bit out there. But, yeah, no, this wasn't anything nefarious or alien, so...
All right, next up, I want to talk about this unbelievable story near Sartell where investigators found a sunken car in the Mississippi River, and they have tied it to a missing persons case from 1967. Care 11, among the outfits, reporting that human remains were found inside that car. It was spotted by a fisherman who detected it on his sonar finder and reported it to authorities. Stearns County Sheriff in Sartell closed Riverside Avenue. A dive team finds the vehicle that was on that sonar. Because the fisherman's like, what in the heck is this? Goes down there, and they find human remains. A missing person. From the 1960s, sheriff's officials say they believe the human remains belong to the man who was the registered owner of that Buick. So they found the VIN from the Buick, said it was registered to a guy named Roy Ben. How about that? Was a local TV meteorologist a victim of sexual harassment at work?
Now, we do have the chance for some snow mixed in with the rain into Saturday morning for the Twin Cities. But when it comes to accumulating snowfall, that looks to be in a band of a pretty narrow band, actually.
All right, that is the voice of Ren Clare. Ren Clare was the chief meteorologist at KSTP. The Pioneer Press broke this story last night. Reporting that she filed a sexual harassment and a retaliation lawsuit against KSTP. It included comments that Dave Dahl made to her, allegedly, and comments that her former boss, the news director, made against her. Ren Clare is apparently her TV name. Her legal name, according to the lawsuit, is Renee Fox. Now, the current news director at KSTP at Channel 5 is new. But she says her old boss regularly made offensive sex-based comments about her body and appearance. He voiced his preference for tighter-fitting outfits, complained when she wore pants instead of a dress, and complained about her decision to switch from blonde to her natural hair color. In Channel 5's legal response, it said that the context was discussion of her on-camera appearance, which is standard for on-air talent. The lawsuit is only against KSTP. It is not against any individual. She said Dave Dahl on multiple occasions commented on her appearance, telling her how great and slim she looked. But she says she reported Dahl's comments to her boss. And maybe this is how we should deal with speeding.
Oh, they're making a run for it. Get good. I love it. It's hot pursuit time flash.
This story is so interesting. It talks about how in Europe, many different countries, the way they figure out how much they're going to charge you for speeding is based on your wealth. The Associated Press reporting that a Swiss driver got a breathtaking $110,000 fine for going, Dan, this guy went almost 50 in a 30.
It was 17 miles over the, or 17 kilometers per hour over the limit, I believe, yeah.
So this guy is a repeat offender. He's one of Switzerland's wealthiest people. And in that region, they look at income, fortune, or general family financial situation. And this is not just Switzerland.
No.
Germany, France, Austria, and all the Nordic companies do this as, countries do this as well. In Switzerland in 2010, a millionaire Ferrari driver got about a $290,000 ticket for speeding in a Ferrari. Just amazing. I think it's very, very interesting. The approach that they have in Europe towards driving violations, but holy moly.
You mean pitchforks and torches if you tried to pull that routine here, right?
If you set aside
equal protection under the
if
law.
If you only stuck it to the super rich people, do you think it would be more acceptable? Maybe.
Maybe, but I still think people would.
You got to be a billionaire to have that kind of a
sure,
fine.
Sure,
there's some different kind of wealth, old money in Europe.
Yes.
That maybe we don't
and,
have. As
you know, everybody in America wants to believe that they're one, you know, great idea away from being a billionaire themselves, which is why we all object to that sort of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, there is something to be said about that. That's the D Rush Hour news headlines, page 2 in the lead. We do it every day at 5, from 5 to 5:30. You can check it out wherever you get podcasts. You can always rewind during the show to any segment you like on the Odyssey app if you want to hear it, or on our YouTube stream, WCCO Radio. We'd love it if you'd like and subscribe and do all the things at all the places. That helps us so much. If you subscribe to our podcast and watch us on the stream, we're just happy to be able to talk to you wherever you're looking for information and fun and content. And we do it live from Target Field today. Dan Hayes, our friend from The Athletic, is going to join us live at Target Field as the field is covered right now. We still got an hour and 10 minutes to go before first pitch is scheduled. But if first pitch were scheduled for now, it would not be happening. Drive time at Target Field. Back in a minute. All right, Dan Hayes is with us from The Athletic. And it has been a busy couple of days, hasn't it, Dan? Holy moly.
Months? Year? It has been busy, yes.
From the trade deadline to just nonstop.
Do you see these bags under my eyes?
You look very tired.
It's been a lot, and yesterday was the topping on the cake after really, you know, this team has done a good job recovering from the deadline and has done a good job of having some energy.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, and I think fans were kind of in on that energy. The Luke Keyshaw.
The Luke Keyshaw was like, giving us life.
And Byron Buxton's back. You know, like, nice little pieces of joy to watch. And then,
where you're like, all right, I'm not that mad. Like, yes, they sold off the whole team, but,
right.
Like.
And then yesterday
and then
happened.
You're like, oh, it's just the dugout. Or it's just the relievers. Like, we'll be all right.
Well, like, what? Look at this. Two weeks ago, they sold off too much of the team, and yesterday they didn't sell enough of it.
Interesting, right?
Yes.
You are one of the few who got to talk to Joe Pollad yesterday.
Right.
And I want to get into that in just a minute, because one of the things he said to you, I think, has the potential to haunt. But we've talked before. I am perhaps the only vocal, and I wouldn't even call myself a defender, but like, I'm not mad about the Pollad situation.
No. And look, I will say this. Great. I like the people I deal with. They're very nice people. I don't know that I would feel the same way if I was a big Twins fan. Like,
yes.
Does that matter to me as a Twins fan that if my owners are nice? No. They could be evil, terrible people.
Yes.
If we win, I'm good with that. That's probably my perspective as a fan. And so I totally know what you're saying.
Which I honor the fans being mad about it, too. Like,
right.
I think it's fair. I'm looking at this not only as an on-field situation. I'm looking at it as a wider community situation.
Correct.
But I wouldn't have been mad if we had new ownership, because at a certain point, and I think this is the crux of the anger, And it's not, yes, everybody can give their reason, like, right. Oh, I'm mad that they did this, or they're cheap, or when they down right-sized, whatever.
Correct.
The truth is, there comes a point where we get sick of someone.
Yeah.
And you see it in politics. You see
it in sports.
You see it
with sports heroes.
You see it with
tear down our heroes.
I think we're at that point.
I think we're probably past that
point.
And I think this was the fresh start people were hoping for. And it didn't happen. It's just disappointment on top of, look, this is the only team in town to deliver a men's professional championship. That says a lot. The Vikings, everybody loves the Vikings. What have they won? They have not won anything. They've been in the Super Bowl a bunch, but they've never won. The Twins are the only team, and maybe that's why it's such disappointment, is because we've seen them reach those heights, and they haven't done it again for 30-plus years. But I think when you think about that, like, look, people are just ready. And so yes. Yesterday happening, it was disappointing. And men, you've seen it online. You've seen it. I'm sure you guys heard it from callers. It's been fun.
I mentioned to Derek Falvey, and if you missed this, you can check it out at WCCRadio.com. It's on our homepage. And I read some of the headlines and some of the comments, and he's like, we know that they're mad, and they're trying to spin it in, like, we're glad that there's passion, at least.
Right.
And apathy would be worse. And that's fair.
Yeah.
And I think, just as an observer, and Derek didn't decide to name himself both of these jobs, but it's pretty tough to be in charge of baseball and be in charge of business when the baseball decisions right now are sort of running in the opposite direction of what your business decisions might be to try to get people into the stadium.
And look, I will say this. The business direction hasn't been going in the right way in 5 years. The Bomba Squad was the last team that drew here. The pandemic wiped out that next year, and they would have drawn 2.6 million fans, 2.8 million fans. But since then, the attendance has been thoroughly disappointing. Right now it's on pace for potentially the record low. I think it's 5,000 above the all-time Target Field record low tickets. And it's probably going to drop below that. That pace is probably going to get worse with September ahead.
Prior years, I would have blamed the fact that the perception in Twins territory was that downtown Minneapolis was still unsafe because of COVID.
Right.
Then there was some irritation that they weren't on TV for a lot of last season.
I mean, the $30 million payroll cut. Really?
The $30 million payroll cut. I think this year and most of last year was anger at ownership.
And I definitely think that played a huge role. And I think that it's funny because you're right. The baseball decisions wouldn't seem to be geared towards bringing in the fans. But I think they think for long-term health that was the right way to go. Replenish the system. And, you know, it's funny, it got lost because we were in New York, but 2 days ago it came out they have the number two farm system in baseball.
Yeah.
Which I can understand if people have some prospect-itis, you know, they're tired of hearing
We've
about
seen
prospects,
that show, yeah.
Right? Max Kepler, Buxton, Sano, we heard this all before. It didn't result in a championship. Show me, don't tell me, that kind of thing. But there is a lot of young talent. And I think one thing that would solve this all is winning consistently.
Yes.
And so if you get there, fans will come back naturally. That's just how it happens. The Reds, a couple years ago, do you remember their owner? Their owner came out and famously said, we don't care. It's okay. Like, their owner basically was brazenly telling the fans, we're going to be here and you're going to still come. This is just how it is. Now the Reds are winning again. The Reds are drawing great.
Yeah.
It happens. It's just a cycle like that.
And I do think that the path for the Polads is to accept that they will be the villains.
Yeah.
And just get over it.
Yeah, maybe lean into it.
You know, it is what you are.
Like, have some vehicles that wear capes.
Right. Why not?
And stuff like that. I don't know. Because
it's just not, because then you talk to Joe Polad.
Yeah.
And we're the right people, is the quote you put in the headline.
You know what? It's unfortunate because it's one line out of a 10-minute conversation, but it stands out. And when you look, the reason it stands out is, again, the tickets are on a record low pace here. They're going to miss the playoffs for the fourth time in 5 years. They just had perhaps the ugliest trade deadline in history as far as ripping a roster apart. They still don't have a TV rights deal or a media rights deal secured for long term. This business is not going great right now, baseball wise or business wise, and that, you know, I think there's a lot of people that would dispute they're the right people based on that stuff. Now, it has been a tough cycle. The pandemic clearly kicked them in the wrong direction, and it did up the debt a significant amount. They kept every employee during the pandemic. They didn't furlough anybody. That was really amazing of them. But also, they started a downward spiral financially at that point that they needed this bailout, essentially. And, yeah. You know, it's an incredibly interesting deal. I mean, to have two people come in and be willing to give up money without asking for a path to control power, without saying we want anything more than a seat on the board and a voice, that's insane. Like, that doesn't happen. Teams don't get more than 5%.
Yeah.
So it's...
What do you think that's about?
I've heard one of the investors is not a sports person. And I know that the person that facilitates the sale, Steve Greenberg from Allen & Co., there's a rich person conference in Utah every summer called Sun Valley. You look it up. It's amazing. His company owns and operates that. So they invite, like, all these people that have billions, and they come and they talk to about billionaire business opportunities.
Yeah.
And I'm sure baseball does have a healthy future. The lockout might be coming, but I think a lot of people believe in the product. And I think that these guys are investors who see baseball going the right direction and the team having more value in a couple of years.
One local group, one money group.
Yeah, one money group. I think that's New York what I heard. But I can't, you know, it's all speculation because it hasn't been approved by the commissioner. You have to get everybody approved. They basically don't want to find out that you have, you know, a drug dealer in your crew.
Sure.
That's, you know,
until you line up who everybody is.
An arms dealer, you know, that kind of thing. Right. They have to give approval on all these people who are being brought in.
All right, stand by. Dan Hayes is with us. The tarp is coming off the field, so off the infield anyway, as they try to get ready. First pitch is at 6:40. More with Dan Hayes in just a minute here on CCN.
Let's take the current temp of your Minnesota Twins. Brought to you by Chef IQ Sense. Get your wireless meat thermometer now at chefiq.com.
Dan, it's your favorite. It's the temp of the temp of the team. I mean, the temp of the fans
right now.
I was
going to say that the temp of the fans is boiling hot or burned to a crisp.
Hey, we took one from the Yankees last night.
Fun game. Joe Ryan.
That was fun.
Joe Ryan's, you know, emotional antics out there, very loud, grunting a lot, dropping some choice words, just emoting everywhere and shutting down the Yankees. That was fun. And Royce Lewis and Cody Clemens with some big hits. It was a good game.
The future faces of this team, like at a certain point, and we talked about this with a former Twins marketing director yesterday on our show, that we got to get some players to be excited about.
Right.
We need even Correa. Honestly, I don't think Correa ever fully grabbed the idea of being the face of the franchise.
I think he was open to it. I wonder if fans were open to it because of what happened in Houston.
Yeah.
They came with the stigma.
I thought he was open to it also, but it never really happened.
No,
which
correct.
I thought
it didn't take off. You're right.
So Buxton, I think, had a little bit of juice after the All-Star break in the season. You're like...
No, Buxton, and you know he's going to be around, Pablo. The thing is like...
Joe could be in there. Joe Ryan is fun.
And but we got to sign how him. Right. We got to wonder how long he's going to be here for.
So that's
Luke Keyshaw.
Luke Keyshaw.
You should have him...
how long do we have Luke?
We have him 6 years.
Okay.
Like, not beyond... Six beyond this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he'll be here for a while.
But you always have the new player who's hot off the gate, and you're like, is this going to become a...
I think he's going to stick. I think he has staying power.
Is that going to be a Julian situation?
No, I don't think that's the same. He plays defense at a really high level.
Yeah.
Julian showed some good flashes in 23, but, you know, he's fallen off and has not been as good and consistent.
I got to take a second to... You know, have you ever been to the Minneapolis Club? I feel like you should have dinner at the Minneapolis Club.
I'd love to.
I will take you to dinner at the Minneapolis Club, and I will pay for it. That is a rare treat for me to actually pick up dinner for.
for coming and taking all of this nonsense this season for me. That's the least you deserve. So if you are one of the Twins brain trust and you're sitting, they're probably member, Polad's probably members of the Minneapolis club. Falvey, maybe, who knows? What do the Twins need to do to try to get the fans to be like, all right, I'm in?
I mean, win, number one. That's just bring up this young talent, showcase it. Maybe throw him a bone. Maybe look, I don't think that Luis Arraez fits their plans necessarily because they want to get athletic, and I don't think he qualifies as that. He's not a very good defender. But you do have a first base hole, and Luis Arraez is a free agent, and fans love him.
Bring him back?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Look, I'm just saying, like, that's the kind of thinking that needs to be there. You need to build the bullpen a little bit, but you got to win.
Signing Joe Ryan, does that help?
Oh, that would help for sure, but I don't know that's in the cards.
Because Joe doesn't want?
I think Joe has a very big price tag attached to him.
Yeah, that's the question. Let's see how much these limited partners, how much money they want to put in, right?
There you go.
It's a big dollar. It's a big dollar.
Yeah, it has to be.
Dan, thank you. Twins pregame is coming up next. The game is 40 minutes away. I'm off tomorrow. I'll see you next week.